God wants you to speak faith. Well, praise the Lord, this is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Speak Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you could join us for another netcast. We're continuing our topic of the baptism in the Holy Ghost. This is part two of that topic, and so we're going to get into that very shortly. First of all, let me say this. I taught on this for weeks and weeks and weeks on our radio broadcast, and our radio broadcast is, of course, Speak Faith Broadcast, which is on Word of Faith Radio. But you're not limited to hearing it live, which is Monday through Friday at 11:30 a.m. on Word of Faith Radio. You're not limited to that. You can also listen to it on our website. If you go to speakfaith.org, speakfaith.org, go to that website, as it says there on the screen, and you can look down the left-hand column until you see Speak Faith Broadcast. Click on that link, and you'll see a listing of our recent broadcasts, which include our teaching on the baptism in the Holy Ghost, or baptism in the Holy Spirit. Just depends on how you say that. You see, let me give you a little history lesson here. Back in the merry old days of England, in the 1611 King James era, there were two groups of translators that were translating the King James Bible. Okay, King James had given a decree that he wanted a Bible written in English, at least the English of their day in 1611, and he basically told them that it was on pain of death. They were to translate this correctly or else. And you didn't want the or else, all right? And so, on this commission, these different groups were translating it. One was in the, shall we say, more pagan-oriented part of the country, where they talked about ghosts, spirits being ghosts. And so they translated it Holy Ghost for the King James Bible. Then, in another part of the country, they translated it Holy Spirit because it was talking about the pneuma, which is a Greek word meaning spirit. And so they translated it Spirit. So the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, whichever way you want to say it, literally is talking about the same individual who is a member of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, depending which way you want to say it. Those three make up the triune God that is the only God. Amen? There's one God in three persons. Okay? Now, boy, I got off on a tangent on all that, but that's okay. That was still something that we needed to explain or to say concerning the baptism of the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Spirit, being an interchangeable term, okay? Now, let's talk about a few things before we get into our teaching today. As always, I want to mention Word of Faith Radio, WFR.org, Word of Faith Radio. I mentioned the Speak Faith broadcast that airs at 11:30, Monday through Friday, Eastern Time. Now, that's Eastern Time. Your time zone may vary, so you can adjust accordingly. But at any rate, that broadcast is available, but there are a lot of other broadcasts that are available. A lot of ministers preaching and teaching the uncompromising Word of Faith that you can listen to on the Word of Faith radio network. Now, I say network because it's a network of stations. There's the main station, then there's the healing station. And I'm telling you, the healing station, we just added a bunch of excellent teaching by Pastor Mark Brzee from Tulsa, Oklahoma, on healing. I tell you, it is good stuff. And the listenership for the healing station has gone up dramatically. I'm talking three times what it used to be. So people are getting the word about the healing station. So you got the main station, you got the healing station, and you got the KJV station, which is the King James dramatized Bible, the entire Bible, read in such a way that it's a dramatized version. So you have, you know, actors that are ladies that are reading the women parts and the male reading the male parts and so forth, and music, and it just comes together. And it's something you can listen to like an audiobook. And it really is immersive. You know, it brings you into it. And so I encourage you to check out the King James channel, so to speak, of Word of Faith Radio. Now, there are a lot of ways you could do it. The best way is to go to the website, wfr.org. There you can find out about all the different ways that you can listen to Word of Faith Radio. But there's another way, kind of a secret way that I'll give you right now, okay? And that is, if you just enter into your browser this address, kjv.wfr.org, you'll start hearing the King James station. If you type in healing.wfr.org, you'll hear the healing station. If you type in radio.wfr.org, then that is the main station, okay? So if you just make a little note of that, radio.wfr.org, healing.wfr.org, and kjv.wfr.org. You can listen to it anywhere. You can pull out your phone. Let me pull out my phone here. I got my phone right here. I could go to my web browser here on my phone. I could type in those addresses, and I could listen on my phone anywhere. That's pretty cool. Amen. All right, so that's available to you. Now, speakfaith.tv. You knew I wouldn't forget that. Speakfaith.tv, there's the URL right there on the screen. You can check that out. And we also have our live channel, which we'll put that URL here up on the screen, sftv.io. I don't know if you're aware of this. I'm giving away some trade secrets here, okay? But I don't know if you're aware of this, but I have to actually program it by hand myself, okay? Both the Roku channel and the live stream and the web, all of that has to be done by hand. So it's a major effort, all right, to keep up with that. Well, guess what? We just, as I'm recording this today, which is November the 11th, as I record this, we're caught up. Hallelujah. We're caught up on the Roku channel. We're caught up on the RSS feeds, because all the stations programming are available through RSS feeds. And we're caught up on the live stream. So all the programs are fresh and ready for you to watch. Amen. All right. A lot of work, but I don't mind doing it, because that's what God's called me to do, is to proclaim the Word of Faith, be a showcase of ministries, and train people to fulfill the Word of God. And speakfaith.tv is just one of the many ways that we do that. Amen. All right. Well, that's our announcements. But let's get into the Word of God. And in order to do that, I'm going to pull up my eSword. I haven't mentioned in a long time that eSword is available. It is a free Bible that is available, and many translations are available in eSword. But eSword's available to you for free. All you got to do is go to e-sword.net. Okay? Letter e-sword.net. And you can download eSword for free. Praise the Lord. The guy that wrote this, he wrote it in C. I mean, this is a quality program. And he wrote this. He makes it available for free. He doesn't charge a dime. Matter of fact, he even says, if anybody charges you for this, they're not according to whole. You know what I mean? They're not doing it correctly, because I'm making this available free as a ministry. Wow. I appreciate that, brother, for doing that, because I use eSword all the time. You can download it, you can install it, and I'm telling you, it is awesome to use eSword. So I pulled up eSword here on my computer right here in front of me, and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, okay? We've been talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to talk about a few important aspects of the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and why it is important for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and to operate in that gift, that gifting that comes from receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, follow after charity. Now, that's a King James word that means divine love. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, notice he says to desire spiritual gifts. There's a lot of people today that teach about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, like, well, now, you know, you shouldn't be desiring spiritual gifts. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you should desire spiritual gifts. Now, let's clarify that. You shouldn't desire any specific gift at any specific time. Like, today I'm going to operate in the gifts of healings. And so that's what I'm going to do. That's not how it works. It's as the Spirit wills. Okay? Now, you can lay hands on the sick at any time and believe for them to recover according to Mark chapter 16. As you go preaching the word, the signs will follow the word. You lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Check it out. Mark chapter 16, latter part of that chapter. Okay? That's part of the Great Commission. But I'm talking about the supernatural spiritual gift of the gifts, plural, of healings, plural, okay, that is listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That is one of the gifts that is as the Spirit wills. Now, I'm open to the Lord using me that way. That's fine. But I can't just say today I'm going to operate in it. Same thing with prophecy. Today I'm going to prophesy. It doesn't work that way. And if you hear somebody say that's what they're going to do, it's error. Okay? It is spiritual and biblical error if they're saying that. All right? But as the Spirit wills, he can manifest these gifts. Okay? So let's go back. Follow after charity or divine love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, which is that gift that we talked about, accompanies the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaketh not unto men. You don't speak in tongues to speak to men, but unto God. You speak unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. The mysteries here are divine secrets. Okay? Divine secrets. So when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit to the Lord, I'm speaking divine secrets to him. Even I don't know. My understanding is unfruitful. I don't know what I'm saying. Amen. And you know, it may sound like gibberish to you. It may sound like gibberish to the person doing the speaking. But that's okay. I'm speaking divine secrets to God. Okay? I don't have to understand it. He understands it when I pray. Okay? So let's keep going here. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men. See, if I prophesy, then I'm speaking to men, to edification and exhortation and comfort. Now let me give you a little insight right here. If somebody's prophesying to you and it doesn't bring edification, it doesn't exhort you, and it doesn't bring you comfort, then it doesn't fall into the biblical definition of prophecy. And you need to avoid it. In other words, you could just reject it. All right? There's a lot of things that somebody might say to you in a prophetic utterance that it may not click with you right then. Put it on a shelf. Make note of it. Put it on a shelf. Don't try to make it come to pass. That's the bottom line right there. Don't try to make it come to pass. If the Lord has given you a word, then that word will come to pass without your help. He doesn't need your help. All right? All right. Let's keep going here. 1 Corinthians 14, 5. I would, or I want you all, the other translation, read it this way. I want you all to speak with tongues. Now, check this out. Paul said, I want you all to speak in tongues. How many of you? All of you. But now, Paul, there's some people that don't speak in tongues. Yeah, but I want you all to. In other words, it's open to all that receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, okay? I want you all to speak with tongues. But now this Corinthian church here was speaking in tongues more than all the rest of them put together. They were wild on tongues. So Paul is trying to draw some balance. That's a word a lot of people don't like to hear, balance. Okay, because a lot of people say balance, it means let's put a little unbelief with a little doubt to balance it. No, that's not balance, all right? That's not how you balance things. But there is a true biblical balance in certain areas. If all you're doing is speaking in tongues, and he's going to get into this here in a second. If all you're doing is speaking in tongues, talking to people in a public meeting, then they're going to be confused because, remember, no man understands you. So they're just going to sit there going, okay, whatever you're doing, go for it. You know, I don't know. But look, it says, now, brethren, if I come, well, let me back up and read verse 5 again. I would that you all speak with tongues. I want you to all speak, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he may interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now this, that the church may receive edifying. Make a note of that. Underline that or make a note to yourself about that because that's the key to this whole chapter. What Paul is concerned about talking to the Corinthians here is that the church may be edified. Okay? That's the key. What you do in your private prayer closet, you talking to the Lord, that's one thing. What you do in your car by yourself, that's one thing. But when you're in front of a group of people, he's saying, now in the church, what we want is for the church to be edified or built up. To edify, that word means to build like a brick upon brick, building a foundation. That's what you want in a church service. Okay? Now he goes on here. But rather that you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesy than he that speaketh in tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, here's what I'm getting at. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I speak unto you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? Now, let me take that out of the King James here. Except I speak to you by revelation knowledge from the Lord, knowledge that I've received from the Word of God myself, prophesying to you, or by teaching you doctrine, like I'm doing right now, teaching the Word. How are you going to profit unless I do that in a public meeting? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction of the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? Okay? In other words, you can play an instrument, and if you don't play it well and you're making noise, people will go, oh, man, that doesn't do anything for me at all. But if you play it with a distinction of the sound where you're playing well and accurately, then that can be edifying, okay? He's drawing an example here. Verse 7. And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction of the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, meaning preaching the gospel, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. You'll just be speaking words. They're words, but they don't make sense to you because you don't understand. They're not fruitful in your mind, okay? Wherefore, if I, this is verse 11, wherefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. In other words, I won't understand what he's saying, bottom line. Even so ye, verse 12, check it out. Even so ye, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts, he said we should desire spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. That's the key right there. Remember, this is in a public meeting. We need to excel to the edifying of the local church that you're preaching to. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret in a church service. Okay? If you're going to speak in tongues, pray that you may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. See, this follows up with what he said earlier about that the natural man, the natural mind, doesn't understand speaking in tongues. It sounds like gibberish. He says here, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Now, that's important. Yes, your spirit prayeth. Yes, you're speaking mysteries unto God, but your understanding is unfruitful. You don't understand what you're saying. Okay? Makes sense? All right, let's keep going. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. Notice he didn't say don't pray with the Spirit. He says I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Perfectly fine to sing in the Spirit. I love to do that. It builds you up. It lifts you up. Okay? Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? In other words, if you're praising the Lord and giving thanks in tongues in a public service, which if everybody's doing it as a certain part of the service, that's fine. But if that's all you do, which is what the Corinthian church was doing, that's all they were doing, then guess what? You're not benefiting the church at large, which is what he's talking about. All right? For thou verily giveth thanks well, nothing wrong with it, but the other people around you that are hearing you are not edified. Then look what he says, verse 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than all of you. Matter of fact, there's a translation that puts it this way. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than all of you put together. Now, that's a lot of speaking in tongues, okay? He must have done a lot of speaking in tongues to beat out the Corinthian church that he was trying to correct with this, okay? No question. But he notice he says he does speak in tongues more than all of you. Yet, in the church, there's the key right there, in the church, in a public meeting, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now, he said, I speak in tongues more than all of you, I speak the 10,000 words, you know, or whatever many was. But in a public service, that's not what I'm there for. And they were having whole services where they did nothing but speak in tongues. Preacher would get up and start speaking in tongues, and all the people would sit there and go, okay. That doesn't benefit anybody. That's what he's talking about. Verse 20. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In other words, don't be childish. Don't think you can just stand up and speak in tongues in a church service all day long and people are going to sit there and be blessed. They're not. Now again, if you're praising the Lord or you're praying in the Holy Ghost in private or you're riding down the road in your car, that's fine. Okay? And even in a church service, if there is a point in the service where people are praising the Lord for a period of time, a short period, together, singing in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, that's fine. But it's not the whole service. The service should be mainly preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, giving forth a revelation, prophesying, moving in such a way in the Spirit that people are blessed in that service, okay? Wow. We're covering a lot of good stuff here. Brethren, do not be children understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Verse 21, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. Now, prophesying is forth speaking. That's the definition. It doesn't have to include prophesying the future. It can be revelation spoken from the Word of God by means of the Holy Spirit teaching, in other words, can be a form of forth telling or forth speaking. All right? In other words, when you go to a church service and people are preaching the word, that very often can be prophesying of this kind, speaking forth. Now, if it gets into the spiritual gift of prophecy, that's fine and that can happen. But I'm talking about simply preaching the word can be what he's talking about here. Prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. When you come together in a church service and hear a message, that is for the local church and it is a blessing to that local church. Amen. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place, that's a public meeting, and all speak with tongues, which is what they were doing, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say you're mad? In other words, don't they go, you guys are crazy. But if all prophesy, speaking forth the word of God, and there come in one that believeth not or one that is unlearned, he's convinced of all, he's judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Hallelujah. How is it then, brethren? Verse 26. When you come together in a church service, that's what he's talking about. Every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine or teaching, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying in that local church service, is what he's talking about. All right? We're just about out of time. Wow, I'm running out of time. That's okay. I'm going to try to tie some things up. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at most by three, that by course or one after the other, and let one interpret. If there be no interpreter, let them keep silence in the church and let them speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. What he's saying here is the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Amen. In other words, you don't have to jump out there and speak in tongues and just disrupt the service. Everything should be done decently and in order. Hallelujah. That's the key to this whole thing. And we're out of time. We're going to stop right here, even though I've got more to go. And we'll talk about that maybe on the next program. Hallelujah. Right now, I want you to write me here at Word of Faith Ministries. All you have to do is write me at my email address, drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at speakfaith.org. Or you can write our physical, mailing address at Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213-5213, High Point, North Carolina, the zip code 27262. Join us again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God. The Speak Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.